to abound and to suffer need. Let's read verse 13 out loud together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I imagine everyone in this room has probably heard those words before of that last verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Consider what's happening here in this familiar passage of Scripture. Paul wrote these words, was yet again in another prison cell. He was a frequent flyer for prisons in that part of the world because of his gospel ministry. He's yet again in another prison cell, not in Philippi this time. This time he's in a prison cell in Rome. And Paul wrote this letter from that prison house back to the people that God had used him to reach in Philippi. And we'll find this week and next that really the whole purpose Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians was really to tell them thank you for their monetary gift that they had sent him to help support him through his time in prison. Now, the Roman government was not as generous as the American government is. They did not do anything to feed their prisoners. They did not do anything to take care of their prisoners. If you are a prisoner of Rome, you're still expected to take care of yourself. And so literally, Paul's in prison, but he has no way of taking care of himself, and yet he's so thankful that he had a church family back in Philippi who thought of him, who were thinking of making sure he had food to eat and that his needs were taken care of, even though they were so far away from him. And so Paul writes them to tell them thank you for sending a monetary gift to help take care of his needs while he was in that situation. Yet while he was grateful for the gift, we'll talk about this more next week. He was so grateful for the gift that they had sent to him. He wanted to make sure that they understood something very significant. That is, whether they had sent the gift or not, he was still content right where God had him. His state of contentment was not based on any of his external circumstances. He had found the secret to true contentment. So that whatever state I am in, Paul said, I have learned to be content. That's a good secret for any of us to know. And that's exactly what we're going to learn as we study this text today. We're going to learn about the secret to true contentment. And I want us to think about this for a little while this morning, because the truth of the matter is I believe we struggle with this so much in our society today. And especially because we are Americans, we are blessed with prosperity. And I'll just be honest, when I think about the subject of contentment, our community and our country in particular, I believe that discontentment has become one of the acceptable sins of our society. Hear me out on this. Don't look down on someone for being discontent. In fact, it's a common thing to hear someone say something like, well, you know, it's okay to want to do better for yourself. It's okay to want to make more money. It's okay to want to have more stuff. You ought to have more stuff. You deserve it. This is part of the culture that we live in today. It's okay to not be happy with what you have and to want more for yourself. That's the American way. I propose to you that the Scripture introduces a different concept to us. Truth is, discontentment that we see taking place in our lives is a travesty on two accounts. First off, it's a travesty because we are the most materially rich people in the world as Americans, yet we're still not happy with what we have. Second travesty is that we are the most spiritually rich people in the world as Christians. We're still not content in what we found in Christ. Discontentment is more of a problem in your life, I dare say, than what you have ever begun to imagine. Yet for all the riches that we possess and all the things that we have gotten, we're not satisfied with what we have. I want you to listen to me on this statement. We are so full of things that leave us empty that we have no room left for the one thing in our lives that God has given us that can keep us full. Why don't you just think about that for a minute? You're so full of things that are only going to keep you empty that you have no room left. The one thing can truly keep you full. That is Jesus Christ. What Paul shares with us in this passage of Scripture is the secret to finding true contentment in your life. Much of the reason why we struggle so much with discontentment today is because we are trying to go about attaining contentment the wrong way. And I believe this will hit close to home for so many of us here. Most people believe that contentment depends on circumstances. Some people imagine being content. It looks like being on a sunny beach somewhere with a clear day and a cool drink beside you and not a care in the world. That's your picture of contentment. Well, you say, I don't care about the beach. Let me be in the mountains. Everything else the same, but let me be in the mountains. I'm with you on that one. Friend, if that was the picture of contentment, most of us would live most of our lives not in a content state. We don't get to spend every day up on a beach with cold drink and not a care in the world. We don't get to spend every day of our lives up in the mountain with not a care in the world. Most of our days, in fact, are not spent that way. And so if that was what defines contentment, most of us would spend most of our life in a discontented state. That can't be the secret to contentment, to a place where you can live a life of luxury like that. So what is the secret to contentment? I want you to look again at verse number 11 with me, because Paul mentions the word there, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be," what? Content. Now that word, content, in your Bible, it's a Greek word, atarkis, and it's a compound word in the Greek. It puts two different Greek words together, autos, which means self, and archaeo, which means sufficiency. And so the idea in this word, when you put it together, the Bible speaks of, when it speaks of being content, is it means being self-sufficient. And one person put it this way. He said, the idea is that contentment is being satisfied in one's innermost being, regardless of what one's external circumstances may be. Being self-sufficient. It's having enough with what God has given you that you don't need your external circumstances to change. You are content. Let me ask you, does this define the state of contentment in your life? To be honest, I think a lot of us are struggling in this area of contentment. Your contentment based on your outward circumstances, or is it based on an inner reality? That's the primary question that you need to answer today. And so in this text of Scripture, we learn the secret to where we can find real and lasting contentment. And true, real, lasting contentment in this life can only be found in total dependence on Jesus Christ. You can mark it down. You can only find true contentment in this life in Jesus Christ. If we look at this text, we're going to labor to show that to you from the Scripture. Every believer, I think, needs to learn to go from Christ to contentment. And as we open the Scriptures and look at this, I believe God's going to show us this very clearly. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. For a few moments, we'll spend some time in prayer. I want, as your head's bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you, will you just search your own heart? Open up your heart to the Lord, and perhaps as I pray, whisper a prayer in your heart and ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you any area of your life you have not been content, and to help you grow as we study this passage. And let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, I have been so convicted myself as I have studied this passage of Scripture, and I know I have so much to grow myself in this area. But I know that we as a body of believers and as a community also need to grow in this area. I pray every individual heart would open up to you and be willing to let your Holy Spirit take your word and speak to them. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would give me power to preach your word and be clear in thought and heart and mind to communicate the truth that you have taught me and convicted me about in this passage. And Lord, may it be your word, not mine. And I pray, God, that if there's one here today that is in the ultimate state of discontentment, they don't know you as Savior, pray they'd be brought into the salvation that you alone can offer to them today. Those of us that know you as Savior, I pray, God, that you would help us grow in the area of contentment as we see these truths demonstrated in the Scriptures. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We seek to delve into this text today. I'm going to do something a little bit unique. I'm going to approach it from using some deductive reasoning. We're going to start with a specific truth and work our way backwards to understanding the general conclusion that Paul came to. Starting in verse 11, Paul said, "I've learned to be content." Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? I had a secret that a lot of us haven't figured out yet. If you move on to verse 13, you'll find out his contentment started a very specific reality. So we're going to start and we're going to work our way in verse 13 and work our way back to verse number 10 and see how Paul ended up in this place of contentment here in the Scriptures. And I'd like you to notice with me four biblical factors that lead to continual contentment. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I want you to see the source of contentment. Source of contentment. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Let's read that out loud again together. I can do all things through Christ. I believe that this verse is a verse that is perhaps taken out of context more than any other verse in Scripture. And I can't tell you how many individuals I know who like to claim this verse as their inspiration for playing sports or accomplishing personal goals or what have you. When you really look at the context and what the Bible's actually speaking about here, what the Bible's speaking about is being content through Christ in all life circumstances. So often people use this verse to demonstrate just the opposite. I don't have something I need, but I can get it through Christ. With God's help, I can get it. And I think that we have a wrong perception of what this verse is actually talking about. This verse has nothing to do with you being able to do whatever you want with Jesus' help. What's talking? It has everything to do with you being able to endure whatever circumstances arise in your life through your relationship with Jesus. That's what it is talking about. How opposite our understanding of this verse actually is in mass in all Christianity today. The truth that you need to get a hold of from this passage is that Jesus is the source of real contentment. A lot of people think, well, if Jesus helps me, I can get or do the thing that I want to do, and then I'll be content. Got it wrong. You have Jesus, you can be content in whatever's going on in your life. That's what Paul labors to show us. The source of true contentment is, in fact, Jesus Christ. And listen to me on this. Without an abiding relationship with Jesus, you will never be truly content. You will never be truly fulfilled, never be truly satisfied without an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You can seek contentment in all kinds of places, but you won't find it anywhere else, truly and fully, in an actual, real relationship with Jesus Christ. And a couple of verses I want you to see about this. God pointed this fact out to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 13, and I want you to see this in your notes. He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Exactly what we do as individuals, and especially people in this world who don't know Christ. Jesus said, "My people, they've forsaken me, one who is a fountain of living water. I can give them continual satisfaction, and in my place, they've hewed them out, broken cisterns, things that will never satisfy them, never fulfill them, and they're trying to find fulfillment in those things." And exactly what we do? We struggle with discontentment. The other side of it, Jesus talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and this is what he told her. He said, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Friend, when you have Christ, an abiding relationship with Christ, you have a source of satisfaction. A living water is how Jesus described it, that can satisfy you no matter what else may be going on in the external circumstances of your life. The question I have for you this morning, first and foremost, is do you have an abiding relationship with Jesus? Do you have a genuine relationship with Jesus? Now understand the gospel. The good news of the gospel starts with some bad news. And the bad news is when you were born into this world, you were estranged from God. You don't have a relationship with God. In fact, the book of Isaiah tells us that your sins have separated you between you and your God. There's a divide that exists between God and you when you enter into this world, and the reason why there is separation between you and God, a severed relationship, is because of your sin, because of the wrong things that you have done. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came, God in the flesh, and he sacrificed himself on the cross. He died on the cross in your place for your sins so that he could do something. Days later, he rose again, and what he has now made possible is for you to be reconciled to God. Reconciled means? It means brought back into a relationship with God. You don't have a relationship with God unless you've come to God through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If you're in here today and you think you have a relationship with God, but you don't know Christ, then you, my friend, are gravely mistaken. Do I go to church? Well, I've been baptized. Well, I've always been a Christian. Wrong. The authority of Scripture, I'll tell you, you're wrong. Because the only way you can have a true, real, abiding relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. Friend, you will find no contentment in your job. You will find no contentment in your relationships. You will find no contentment in your bank account. You will find no contentment in the circumstances of our country, even if they change. You'll never find contentment in anything else than in Jesus Christ. You've never entered into a saving relationship with Christ. That's where your journey to contentment should begin. It starts with an abiding relationship with Jesus. And friend, has there been a time in your life when you have understood you're a sinner and trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? Entered into a relationship with God through Jesus? Because if there's never come a day like that in your life, the Bible says today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Friend, you will find no greater joy, no greater source of satisfaction and fulfillment in life than in coming to know your God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, if you've never made that decision, to make that decision today. I know that many of us in this room have entered into a relationship with Jesus. We do know that we're saved, and I want you to understand that once you know Christ as your Savior, that is when you can truly begin to learn the secret to real contentment. It starts with knowing Christ. He's the source of contentment. I want you to look at verse 13 again and see what Paul has to teach us more about this. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. Paul had a can-do attitude. I like that about Paul. And the phrase there, can do, is a Greek word, comes from a Greek word that means to be strong or to have power. And so notice this, Paul acknowledged that he had the power within him to do anything God required from him in every circumstance of life. Why did he have such confidence? How could he have such confidence that he could face anything that happened in his life? Confidence didn't come from himself. Paul wasn't saying, hey, you know, I've got a lot of character. I've sure been through a lot of things. So I can take anything you throw at me. That's not what Paul was saying here. What does he say? He says, I can do all things. What are the next two words? Through Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now that word strengtheneth is a translation of the Greek endumau. And it's a compound word that literally means to be in strengthened or to have inner strength. Paul was talking about having inner strength here. And that strength did not come from him, but it came from Christ. It's in the present tense and the active voice in the Bible here, which indicates to us that this was a continual action that was taking place in his life. He continually, right now, had the strength that he needed to face whatever God allowed him to go through. Why? Because he had Christ. He had found the power to be content and whatever status his life may be, because he had Christ in his heart. Paul was essentially saying, through Christ, who is continually giving me strength within, I am able to do whatever God asks of me. And beloved, listen to me on this. You have, if you are a believer, right now, all the power you need within you through your faith in Christ to face whatever circumstance God may allow you to go through. Be content. Be content. Even in the hard times, even in the blessed times, you can be content right where God has you because you've got Christ in your life. Think of it this way. The most important part of a tree is the part you can't see. Root system. The root system that gives it the life that it needs to exist. And even so, the most important part of the Christian's life is the part that only God sees. That's the most important part of your life today. Not the show that you put on in front of everybody else when you come to church. The part that only God sees. Whether you are content or not is largely due, or will largely be based on whether or not you are finding your source of strength in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. You have an abiding relationship with God. You have the source of life and power flowing within you to face anything that arises in your life. John chapter 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then he says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now just think about that. Without Christ, you can do nothing. With Christ, through Christ, you can do all things. See the difference? Without Christ, John 15, 5, you can do nothing. With Christ, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things. You tell me, which way would you rather have it? I'd rather just trust in Christ's strength, trying to live in my own strength. And you'll never find contentment so long as you try to do it on your own. You've got to go back to your source of contentment, and that's not the changing of external circumstances, but that is the awareness of an inner reality. I've got Christ, and so whatever else is going on in my life, I've got everything I need. I've got Him. Is that a reality for you? You have to say you've been struggling with discontentment. I propose to you that if you're going to find contentment, you need to start with going back to the source, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus can give us a continual supply of anything that we need. I like what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35. He said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Friend, you have in Jesus all the bread, all the drink, all the satisfaction that you need. This is why it's so important we park on this point. But my mind goes to the story of Corrie ten Boom every time I think of this subject. Corrie ten Boom, when she was a young girl, her family was captured and put into a Nazi camp during World War II. I don't have time to belabor all that she had to endure while she was there, but I will say that she had to watch as many of her family members killed or died in that prison camp, including her sister, most notably. While she was there, she suffered horrendous atrocities. Yet through that trial, God allowed her to go through. She learned something, and later in life, she often was quoted as saying this. She said, you can never learn that Christ is all you need till Christ is all you have. It's true for us too. How could she be content in a Nazi camp during World War II? She said, because she had Christ. Whatever you're going through today, you can be content if you understand you have Christ. We see the source of contentment, but working our way backwards towards the general conclusion of contentment Paul came to, first thing we see is the source. The second thing I want you to note down is the scope of contentment. Scope of contentment. Now, if you're still with me, say amen. The scope of contentment. Once you find your source of contentment in Christ, you will find that He covers the scope of all things. And that's what Paul said again in verse 13. He said, I can do, what are the next two words? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, this is a very simple but profound reality that I want you to grasp here. In Christ's strength, you can be satisfied, you can be content in every single circumstance of life. And so let me ask you a question. What exactly does all things cover? Wow, you guys are really smart. In the Greek, it literally means all things. Okay? Everything. There's not a circumstance you can go through in life that you can't find contentment and satisfaction in and through Jesus Christ. That's a significant truth. It's simple and yet a little bit difficult to grasp when you're actually having to live it out. Think about what the Apostle Paul said in verse 12. Look at verse 12 with me here, because he gives us a relatively extensive list of what all things includes. Verse 12, he said, I know both how to be abased, humbled, and I know how to abound, to be overflowing with blessing. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ. Now, according to this list Paul just gave us, all things would include the times when you're honored, the times when you're humbled, include the times when you're full and the times when you're famished, include the times of prosperity and the times of poverty in your life, and every degree of time in between those extremes. All things covers all things. And that's why Paul said in verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. That means wherever I am currently existing, learn to be content. And the Apostle Paul, of course, as you read about his life in the Scriptures, was a man who is an example to us, not of just saying he was content, but truly exemplifying godly contentment, all different types of circumstances. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10, what Paul said. He said, we are troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. How could he be perplexed, but not in despair? How could he be dying and yet living at the same time? How do you justify these contrasts that he demonstrates for us in the Scripture? The fact is, you go back to the truth, had found contentment in Christ. Even when his external circumstances were not favorable, he still had peace and joy and satisfaction because those were all based in Christ, not in his circumstances. That's a powerful reality if the Holy Spirit will help you get a hold of it in your heart. There's a point that I'm getting at. There's not a circumstance, listen to me, there's not a circumstance you will go through in life that Christ cannot give you the strength to be content in. I don't care what it is. How Matthew Henry put it, he said, we need Christ's strength to teach us to be content in every condition. Content in every condition. What's your condition today? Say, it's a very discontenting position, Pastor. All right. Well, externally, that may be so. Internally, you can find contentment if you get your mind focused on the right source of contentment. And that's Jesus Christ. We see the source of contentment is Christ. We see the scope of contentment. It covers all things. Now, that leads us to the third truth I want you to notice, and that is the school of contentment. We're getting ready to start school tomorrow at Lighthouse Christian Academy. A lot of our kids have already started school. Did you know that you have not graduated from school yet? You may think you have, but you're not done yet. God's still taking you to school. I want you to understand what Paul learned here in the school of contentment. Understand this. Every believer has Christ. You're saved, you have Christ. Not every believer has contentment in Christ. Though we have everything that we need to be content, many of us still aren't, are we? It's a difficult reality to face. And so the reason why this is so is because we have not yet gone to the school of contentment. Listen, it's a cliche statement. You can be content in Christ. It's on t-shirts today. It's something that we know here, but for many of us, we have not yet learned here. That's why through the circumstances of life, God often needs to take us back to school, help us learn, live out this truth in our actual lives. Certainly what happened for the Apostle Paul, and he demonstrates it for us here in our text. And so as we trace Paul's words backwards towards the place where he said, I've learned to be content, what we discover in this next lesson is not an easy truth, but it's one that we need to understand. Look at verse 11 with me again. The second part of the verse, the Bible says, for I have learned, note that word, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Look at verse 12, he says, I what? I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And he says, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed. You see that? He says, I've learned, I know. And he says, I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And these words, Paul begins to describe for us what it looked like to be educated in the school of contentment. Shows us how he received this education. I've learned, I know, I am instructed. And he was learning some things through the circumstances God allowed him to go through in his life. And I want to focus in on each of these phrases quickly this morning and then cover exactly how Paul was educated in the school of contentment. And by the way, so how you and I need to learn from the school of contentment. First thing I want you to note down is this. He learned by instruction. Learned by instruction. Verse 11, the Apostle Paul, again in the second part of the verse, he says there, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That phrase, have learned, is the Greek manthano, and it literally means to learn something by practicing it. God had taught the Apostle Paul early on and throughout his Christian walk to be satisfied in Jesus. And he gives several examples of this throughout the content of Scripture. But perhaps most notably, my mind goes back to the example in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 describes a period of time in his life he was discontent. Describes it, the thing that was discontenting him, as being a thorn in his flesh. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A thorn in the flesh. Three different seasons. He comes to the Lord and says, God, will you take this away from me? Finally, after the third season, Jesus comes back to him and reminds him, no, I've given you this. Teach you, be content, my sufficient grace. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory now in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure now in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities and in persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, we could say, I have learned, then I am strong. Let me tell you something. When God takes you to the school of contentment, you better get ready to learn something. God won't always answer your prayer the way that you want Him to. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not yet. Say, well, Pastor, if God would just come through and help me pay this bill or help me get out of this circumstance, I could be happy again. Perhaps God's allowing you to stay in the circumstance long enough to where you can learn you don't need your circumstances to change to be happy. You can find joy and peace and contentment right where you are in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've learned by practice. God's put me through some things that has taught me that I can be content no matter what God asks me to go through. Have you learned to be content? Perhaps God's wanting you to learn what you're going through right now to be content. First off, Paul said in the school of contentment, he learned by instruction. Number two, I want you to note this down. He learned by involvement. He learned by involvement. Look at verse number 12. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 12, he said, I know, and that's a significant word, I know both how to be abased and I know, same word, how to abound. He speaks here of knowing something. That word know is the Greek oida, and it literally means to know how to do something or to be skilled in something. This speaks of the type of learning that only comes by experience. In other words, this wasn't something that he'd learned in a discipleship class somewhere but had never practiced. This is something he had come to know because he had lived it out in his own personal experience. And through all that Paul had experienced, God had taught him to be content. What Paul is saying here is that he had become skilled in finding contentment in any state of life. Whether he was being abased, or whether he was abounding, he had come to know that he could be content in any state of life. John Phillips, he put it this way. He said he had learned how to handle all of life's ups and downs, not in his own strength, in Christ's strength. Would you like to learn how to do that? The way you're really going to learn how to do that is when God puts you through the school of contentment. So I ask you this morning, do you know how to find contentment in the state of life that you're in today? Listen, a lot of us live very discontented lives because we're so focused on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We really struggle with learning to find contentment in the status of life that we find ourselves in. Many people struggle learning how to be content the times when they're being abased. The word abased in the scripture talks about being humbled, being made low. You know, when things aren't going well, it's hard to be content, isn't it? I would propose that more people struggle abounding. It's when everything's going well. There's plenty of food on the table, plenty of money in the bank. That's when we really struggle. We have more than we need. What we tend to do is to hoard it all to ourselves or to squander it on things that we don't need. I propose to you, especially as Americans, that what we struggle with more, abounding. Being content in the seasons of abounding. Like Corrie ten Boom said, when you realize Christ is all you have, you can come to the place where you know He's all you need. When Christ isn't all you have and you do have abundance, it'd be a hard thing for you to remember, you don't need all that. You've got Christ. I think that's where we really struggle as American believers. Understand, discontentment is just as much a problem for people who aren't struggling as it is for those who are. You may be doing well today and thinking, well, I've got everything I need. You're still wanting things that you don't have. Still discontent. Paul said through times of abounding and through times of abasing, know how to be content. He becomes skilled in finding his contentment in Christ. By the way, let me just say this. A lot of the reasons why people live lives of continual struggle is because they've never learned to find their contentment in Christ. And I'll say to you, until God can trust you with the little bit that you have, why do you think He should give you anything more? The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And you think, well, if God gave me what I needed, if God gave me more stuff, then I could give, then I could live for God. Got it wrong. If you're not doing it with what you have right now, you wouldn't do it if God gave you more. See that? God help us to learn how to be content with where we're at, with what we have. And when we are blessed with abundance, instead of hoarding it to ourselves or wasting it on ourselves, God help us learn how to share it with others. need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that God can make all grace abound towards you so that you can abound unto every good work. God blesses you with abundance. God help us to learn how not to become discontent in abundance, but how to share the blessings of God with other people in our lives. In the school of contentment, he learned by instruction. He learned by involvement. But the third thing I want you to see is that he learned by initiation. He learned by initiation. Verse number 12, the end of the verse, the Apostle Paul, he wrote here, "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now that phrase, "I am instructed," it literally means in the Greek, be initiated into the secret. And it has the idea that was something that was connected with the Greek culture in that day and time. And still in our culture a little bit today, there are secret societies or institutions that have an initiation process that only certain people, when they go through, then they can learn all the secrets to that organization. And perhaps you've heard of things along that line before. It's the whole idea behind what this word is communicating. Initiated into the secret. And here's the application. God has an initiation process whereby he desires to reveal the secret to contentment to every believer. That initiation process isn't necessarily fun. I wonder, have you been initiated to the school of contentment? Paul said, "I have been instructed no matter what my status of life is. I've been initiated, okay? I know where to find contentment because I've lived it." I wonder if that can be said of your life today as well. I remember I graduated high school, I was 17 years old, and I left home a couple months later, 17 years old, and went out into adulthood. And I, like most young people, did not realize how good I had it. Grown up, I learned very quickly after I left. I began very quickly to be schooled in the learned in the school of contentment, we could say. And I remember in those early adult years going through Bible college, not having money for food, eating ketchup packets while my friends were ordering something from McDonald's because I was too prideful to say I didn't have any money. I remember going without. By the way, there's also been times in my life where there's been more in the bank account than I was expecting and had surplus and didn't know what to do with it. I'll also say I much prefer those times to the other, okay? In all different seasons of life, God has been teaching me and is still teaching me to be content. To a certain degree, we've all been initiated into the school of contentment. But now we've learned what God's wanting us to learn, another question entirely. See, to go from knowing Christ is all I need, actually applying that in your circumstance requires you to go through the school of contentment. Allow God to instruct you. Allow God to initiate you. Allow for God to teach you how to truly be content in the circumstance that you find yourself in. Then, once you've understood that the source of contentment is Christ, the scope of contentment covers all things, and you've gone through the school of contentment, you can arrive at the fourth truth, and that is the satisfaction of contentment. Note it down, the satisfaction of contentment. Read again verses 10 and 11 and we'll be done. The Bible says, Paul writing, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. That I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Capture the picture here. While Paul wanted the church in Philippi to know how much he appreciated the love gift that they had sent to him, did not want them to mistakenly believe in any way that their gift had impacted the state of his contentment. Paul was essentially saying here that, hey, whether they had sent the gift or not, he was still content. He was fully content in whatever God chose to give to him in his life. Can you honestly say that about your life today? I am satisfied with what God has given to me. That's a true statement of contentment. That's not the place where most of us live our lives on a regular basis, is it? Struggle in this area. Boy, when you find your source of contentment in Christ, work your way back from there, you can go from Christ content. You get the basis of your contentment into the right place. And that's why Paul could say, "I'm not speaking in respect of wanting things. I'm not asking for more handouts or more help here. But I've learned to be content in any circumstance that God places me in." Two principles here before we're done. you can be content in any circumstance of your life, you really come to understand who God is. Listen, God knows what you need. God will take care of you. He is a providential God. When you really grasp that truth, you can be content no matter whether you think your needs are being met or not. Know that God is a good God who knows your needs and will take care of you. You can be content no matter what your status of life. Time to read it, but Matthew chapter 6 and verses 31 through 33. Jesus said, don't worry about your needs. I know what you need. Seek me first and I'll take care of the rest. God's a good God who knows what you need and he will take care of you. And when you understand the providence of God, you can rest content in whatever God decides you need in your life. He knows you better than you know yourself. Second thing I'd say is this. If you have God, you can be sure that you will always have everything that you need. You believe that? Have God, you'll always have everything that you need. Again, one thing to know that up here. Another thing to believe it here, actually apply it in your life. Especially if you're going through difficult seasons. That's when the rubber really meets the road. Paul gives a wonderful acclamation. I've learned how to be content. Now, trace it back to the end, Christ. Everything that I go through, I have Christ. Christ knows who I am. Christ knows where I am. Christ knows what I need. And so no matter what I go through, whether abounding or abasing, whether poverty or riches, no matter what I go through, I have Christ, and so I have everything that I need. Truly believe, conclusion, the most beautiful descriptions of contentment is found in Psalm chapter 23. So I want us to see this before we're done. Many of you had to memorize this psalm when you were young. You might be able to quote it with me, but I want you to think about what the psalmist said. So let's quote it out loud together. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now just stop right there. I shall not want. Why? The Lord's my shepherd. I don't need anything else. Verse 2, what does he say? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I'm going. Oh, now I'm going to have to read along with you here. I'm forgetting it now too. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now stop right there. I'm content in my shepherd, in its green pastures, in its still waters, when he's restoring my soul, he's leading me in the path of righteousness. Oh, that sounds like the place of serenity. That sounds like the place of contentment right there. Go on to the next verse. Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Uh-oh. Valley of the shadow of death doesn't sound like a very contenting place, does it? Why is he content? With me. With me. Rod and your staff, you're going to protect me. You're going to help me. You're going to provide for me. Learn to be content because even in the valley, it's there. Finish the rest of the psalm. The truth remains the same. The point is, you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley, whether you're being exalted or being abased, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whatever your season of life is, you can find contentment in Jesus Christ. Are you content today? Paul said, I've learned, whatever state I am in, to be content. You need to learn that lesson today too. Everybody to bow your head and close your eyes with me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Really a simple truth, contentment. How often we don't live in that place. I told you at the beginning, the Greek word for content really means self-sufficient. After studying this text, I've discovered a better definition. True biblical contentment, being Savior sufficient. I have Christ, I have all I need. You'd say, Pastor Bruce, my heart today, I have to be honest, I'm struggling with being content with where I'm at right now. God has spoken to my heart about that. If that's you, would you lift your hand and just be honest? I'm struggling with being content with where I'm at right now. Hands. I think that all of us can struggle with that and do struggle with that often. You are struggling with contentment. I want to invite you to make a decision before a holy God today. Come and say, Lord, you're my shepherd. I have all I want, things I think I want, but I'm willing to trust you to give me what you already know I need. I'll be content as long as I have you. I encourage you to come make that decision before the Lord today. Some of you, the reason why you're not content, because you don't have Christ in your life. You cannot have contentment without Jesus. You don't have an abiding relationship with Jesus. The decision you need to make today to invite Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart, and save your soul. You need to be restored to relationship with God through Jesus. I wonder if there'd be someone in this room today that would say, Pastor Bruce, if I'm being honest, I don't have Jesus in my heart. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I have a real relationship with God. I know who Jesus is. I know who God is, but I don't know that I really know Him. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Lift it right up and slip it right back down. I just want to take a minute to pray for you. Very good. We're going to have a time of invitation now. And as God has spoken to our hearts through His Word, this is a time for us to worshipfully respond. I want to encourage you not to just sit there mindlessly doing nothing. I encourage you to step out and come pray at an altar if God's spoken to your heart. You can do it from your seat if you'd like. I want to encourage you not to just sit there and do nothing. The Word of God that has been preached to you. Let's be doers of the Word and not hearers only today. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As the music begins to play, God has spoken to your heart. Can I invite you to step out and come? You need to come talk to the Lord. You lifted a hand a moment ago. I want to invite you to step out and lift up your heart to the Lord now. Let's be Savior sufficient. Let's find contentment in Christ.